Welcome to the OrthoClips podcast series, and welcome back to the Ortho Time Machine episodes, where we uncover the most transformative moments and figures in the history of orthopedic surgery. I'm Saqib Rahman, and in today's episode, we're highlighting the extraordinary life and work of Gavril Elizarov, a man who, against all odds, revolutionized limb reconstruction and deformity correction. Elizarov's work wasn't just innovative, it was miraculous. And if you've ever seen a patient who can't heal a fracture or has a defect, and you witness the power of distraction osteogenesis and the ability to literally grow bone, even to this day, it remains a miracle. I mean, if you're an orthopedic surgeon, you know what I'm talking about. Elizarov developed techniques that could regenerate bone, correct deformities, lengthen limbs, and essentially transform the lives of patients who had been told they would never walk again. But here's a twist. For decades, his methods remained a well-kept secret, hidden behind the Iron Curtain. So how did a little-known Soviet doctor stumble upon one of the greatest discoveries in orthopedics? And how did his work finally break through to the rest of the world? Let's find out. Our story begins in the remote region of Kurgan, Siberia. Gavril Abramovich Elizarov was born in 1921 to a poor Jewish family in the mountainous region of the North Caucasus. He grew up in a small village with no running water, no electricity, and certainly no signs that he would one day change the course of medicine. Elizarov initially trained as a general practitioner, but his career took a decisive turn during World War II. As we saw with John Charnley. He served as a field doctor, treating soldiers with horrific injuries, and it was here that he first encountered the challenge of fracture non-unions, which are cases where broken bones just won't heal. The tools at his disposal were primitive, and the outcomes were often grim. So after the war, Elizarov returned to Kurgan and began working as an orthopedic surgeon. The hospital was poorly equipped, resources were scarce, but Elizarov was resourceful. He often said,
"When you have little, you learn to make much of it. Necessity teaches you to be inventive."
And inventive he was. By the early 1950s, Elizarov had begun experimenting with a radical idea, the possibility of distraction osteogenesis, a process where controlled mechanical force could stimulate bone growth. But how did Elizarov stumble upon this method? Interestingly, his initial inspiration came not from orthopedics, but from observing farmers using yokes on oxen. These wooden devices could hold the animal's limbs in place and exert a gradual, steady force. So Elizarov wondered, could a similar principle be applied to human bones? So he began developing a rudimentary external fixation device, a circular frame made from bicycle parts and scrap metal. This frame, when attached to the bone with thin wires, could apply tension while allowing mobility. His first patients were primarily those with infected non-unions, cases deemed hopeless by other surgeons, and to this day are still very challenging cases for us. Elizarov's early experiments were highly empirical. There were no sophisticated animal studies or clinical trials to guide him. He relied on trial and error, closely observing his patient's progress. His breakthrough moment came when he noticed something astonishing. Under gradual, controlled distraction, not only did the bones regenerate, but the surrounding soft tissues, the muscles, the nerves, and blood vessels also adapted and grew. He later remarked,
"The body is wiser than we often give it credit for. If we respect its rhythms and apply the right forces, it will respond in ways we never imagined."
For years, Elizarov's work remained largely unknown outside the Soviet Union. He was working in isolation, far from the academic centers of Moscow or Leningrad. His techniques were met with skepticism by his peers, who dubbed him the magician of Kurgan. But Elizarov's results spoke for themselves. Patients who had been wheelchair-bound were walking again, farmers returned to their fields, factory workers to their machines. One of the most famous early patients was a man named Valentin Dicul, a circus performer who had fallen from a great height, suffering devastating leg injuries. After multiple failed surgeries, Dicul was told he would never walk again. Desperate, he sought out Ilizarov. Using his external fixation device, Ilizarov not only healed Dicul's fractures, but also corrected his leg length discrepancy. Remarkably, Dicul went on to return to the circus, becoming a living testament to Ilizarov's work. But perhaps the patient who truly brought Ilizarov international fame was Valery Brumel, the legendary Soviet high jumper. In the early 1960s, Valery Brumel was a national hero. He dominated the world of high jumping, setting multiple world records and winning an Olympic gold medal at the 1964 Tokyo Games. At the height of his career, Brumel was celebrated not just as an athlete, but as a symbol of Soviet excellence.
The most exciting track and field event was the high jump duel between John Thomas of the U.S. and Valery Brumel of Russia. Brumel, who beat Thomas in the Olympics, tied his own best mark in this indoor meet, and then went on to a jump of more than 7 feet 4 inches. The Russian defeated Thomas in every one of 3 meets with form like this.
But in 1965, tragedy struck. Brumel was involved in a motorcycle accident that shattered his right tibia. Despite undergoing several surgeries, his leg failed to heal properly, and the once great athlete was left with a severe deformity, chronic pain, and the devastating realization that his career was over. Doctors told Brumel that there was nothing more to be done, but then someone mentioned a little-known surgeon in Kurgan who was working miracles. With nothing to lose, Brumel made the long journey to Siberia to meet Gavril Ilizarov. Ilizarov applied his now famous circular external fixator, carefully lengthening and realigning Brumel's tibia. The process was slow and painful, but Brumel was a fighter. After months of treatment, his leg was fully healed. Although he never returned to world-class competition, Brumel could walk, run, and even jump again. Brumel later said,
"Ilizarov didn't just heal my leg. He gave me my life back."
The story of Valery Brumel spread quickly, bringing Ilizarov's methods into the spotlight. Suddenly, the quote-unquote magician of Kurgan was no longer a secret. Word did get out, and Professor Monticelli at the University of Rome was curious and funded his junior partner, Dr. Renato Spinelli, to spend 1 month in Kurgan in 1980, and he was likely the first Western orthopedic surgeon to visit Professor Ilizarov. He came back, reported on his trip to the Italian Orthopedic Association that year in Rome, and then Monticelli presented this at CICOT in Brazil, and they started using their own variation of this technique, and around the same time, another Italian connection was developing. Now, while Valery Brumel's case gained fame in the Soviet Union, another patient helped Ilizarov's reputation spread to the West. This patient was Carlo Mauri, a renowned Italian explorer, mountaineer, and adventurer. In the late 1970s, Mauri suffered a pretty bad fracture of his tibia during one of his expeditions. Like Brumel, he endured multiple surgeries and none were successful in getting him to heal his non-union, essentially. His career and potentially his ability to walk were in jeopardy. So he was desperate for a solution, and actually on one of his expeditions, his Russian companion, another journalist, offered to introduce him to Professor Ilizarov in the Soviet Union. So in March 1980, Mauri went to Kurgan and was operated on by Professor Ilizarov in April 1980. And according to Mauri,
"Ilizarov was like an artist. He worked with precision, patience, and an incredible understanding of the body's ability to heal itself."
Following his recovery, Mauri returned to his adventurous lifestyle, scaling mountains and leading expeditions once again. His case brought significant attention to Ilizarov's methods in Italy and beyond. In his hometown of Lecco, Drs. Roberto Cattaneo, Dr. Maurizio Catagni, and many others in AO Italy invite Dr. Ilizarov to deliver his results to a standing ovation at a conference in Bellagio in 1981. Western surgeons who had long struggled with complex fractures and limb discrepancies saw the potential of this innovative method of distraction osteogenesis. Orthopedic surgeon Dr. Viktor Frankl, who was at the Hospital for Joint Disease and also at University of Washington for some time, he is credited with helping to introduce Ilizarov's methods to the United States. He recalled, quote, "When we saw Ilizarov's results, it was like seeing the future of orthopedics unfold before our eyes. This was a paradigm shift." By the 1980s, Ilizarov's techniques were being adopted worldwide. His once isolated hospital in Kurgan transformed into an international training center, attracting surgeons from all corners of the globe. Among them was Dr. Dror Paley, one of Ilizarov's most prominent disciples. Dr. Paley later said, quote, "Ilizarov taught us that no case is hopeless. His method gave us the power to rewrite patients' stories," unquote. Ilizarov continued to refine his techniques until his death in 1992, but his legacy lives on. Today, Ilizarov's methods are used globally for congenital deformities, for cosmetic limb lengthening for patients who want to gain stature, and especially for trauma and reconstruction. Gavril Ilizarov's story is one of perseverance, creativity, and an unshakable belief in the body's ability to heal. His life reminds us that the greatest innovations often come from the most unlikely places. So thank you for joining us on this journey again through the Ortho Time Machine. In our next episode, we're going to explore the rise of arthroscopy and how this minimally invasive technique revolutionized sports medicine. Next time.